friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what a forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden? Cumbered with a load of care. Precious Savior, still a refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. Thou wilt find a solace there.
Take your Bibles, if you would, stand with me. And it's amazing how they're talking about the importance of prayer. And that's what we talked about on Wednesday night. And we want to finish it up tonight, or hopefully we'll finish it up. I don't want to make it a four-parter, but, you know, we might just do that, three. But we'll see what the Lord does tonight in our hearts and lives. Let's take our Bibles and turn over to 1 Timothy chapter number 2. And we're going to read, as we did Wednesday night, I'm going to read the odd verses and you read the even verses. And we're going to go back over just a little bit and talk about what we talked about on Wednesday night, just to kind of set the stage and go on from there as to what we want to share tonight with you. And pray that, again, that it will be a blessing to you. Amen?
Amen.
I still hear a couple of pages turning. It's good to see Brother Hall is here tonight. He made it out of work here and here with us tonight, and we appreciate that. Everybody there?
Yeah.
All right. Amen. All right, she's there too. First Timothy chapter 2. I exhort therefore that first of all, they still turning.
Amen.
First Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1.
Amen.
Everybody there?
Yeah.
All right. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplication, prayers, and intercession and accessions and giving of thanks be made for all men. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, that the man Christ Jesus,
who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time.
Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Amen. And Wednesday night, we talked about the necessity of prayer. And we want to talk about it again tonight. As we said Wednesday night, most of us, if we be honest with ourselves, when it comes to prayer, we don't pray enough. Amen. Will y'all agree with that tonight?
Yes, sir, Pastor.
And we agreed on that on Wednesday night. But if we think about what the Apostle Paul is writing here, above all things, first of all, when something is going on in our lives, and there are many of us tonight that have things going on in our lives, the first thing that we ought to do is what?
Pray.
How many of us do that, though? Most of us don't pray enough And that's the subject, that's the matter tonight, is the necessity of prayer. And I pray that God will speak to our hearts tonight and be a blessing as we look at this area of prayer that Paul is writing and get some understanding of it as how we can be beneficials and benefit others because we pray. Father, thank you again for your blessings. God, we thank you for the privilege of prayer. God, we thank you for the privilege that we have tonight to be in your house. And we thank you this morning that we can see from the word of God what importance it is to have a shepherd in our life, but also what a friend we have in Jesus, that we can go to him in prayer and ask the things that we cannot do on our own, knowing that you're the God of heaven, you're in control, you're in charge, you're on the throne. There's nothing that happens in our lives by chance, but we can get a greater understanding if we learn to trust you and to pray to the God of heaven and ask the understanding that we need when we don't understand. Father, I pray that you meet with us tonight and speak to our hearts in a special way. God, that you would empty me of self, fill me with your spirit, and Lord, if there be any sin in my life, that you remove that from it and forgive me of it, that I might be used of you to speak to your people tonight, that we might be encouraged about this thing of prayer as we have a need for it in our lives, and we definitely have a need for it in our society today. Father, bless now, provide and meet our needs. We ask all of this now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. 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 You may be seated. You know, on Wednesday night, we talked about the importance of prayer and the necessity of prayer. And one of the things that I believe that it is so necessary today, and we're going to look at it tonight, most of us, as I said already, when it comes to prayer, we don't pray enough and we don't pray as often as we ought to. And if we be honest with ourselves, we know that we don't do it. But the importance of it, that we recognize that we don't do it. But the thing that we ought to do is pray. Amen. And one of the things that we looked at, when you think about the Apostle Paul, Paul is writing to a young man called Timothy. And most of us, when we look at prayer, we wouldn't think about going to 2 Timothy or to Timothy and figuring out why and how could God use this area that he's talking to Timothy about when it comes to prayer. But God could use that area and talk to us about prayer, because who more than the Apostle Paul knew what it was like to go from church to church and see all of the things that were going on in the churches that he was writing to, and all of the books that Paul writes to in the New Testament. They was writing, and every time he wrote a book, as we saw on Wednesday night, he addressed them by talking about how he prayed for them. And we need to pray, because it is something that every Christian ought to do. And if we want to see God do something in our lives, we want to see God do something in the society in which we live today, one of the first things that we ought to do is pray. And we don't do it. I want you to think about it tonight. The last part we looked at, we're going to look at tonight, think about who Paul is writing to. Who he's writing to Timothy, but he's also telling Timothy about who he ought to pray for. Now, think about our society today in which we live in. Most of us would agree, when we think about all of the new bills that's being passed about homosexuality. We're talking about people who are being mistreated by the sheriff and the police officers. And most of us, when it comes to that, we may have our opinion on it. But, you know, one of the things that we don't do, we don't go to the Lord in prayer.
We don't.
And those same people that we have a problem with, whether it's in the White House or in the poorhouse, where we have problems with, we ought to be praying for them, and we don't pray. He says, pray for kings and those that are in authority, because you know what? Those same people that he's talking about that we need to pray for, you know, they have problems just like you and I.
Yes, sir, they do, Pastor.
And we need to pray for them. And most of us don't lift up those people in prayer, because we don't think about them in a need of prayer.
Right.
Most of the people we think that need prayer are our neighbors and our coworkers.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And I'm not even saying that we even pray for them, because
Amen.
We need to pray for them as well.
Yes,
but he says, pray for all men.
Yes.
And those people need our prayers this morning.
Definitely.
I want you to think about your family today.
Amen.
How many of you have people in your family that like to practice the alternate lifestyle? If every one of us probably, I don't want to say that, but there are a lot of us in our families today have people that are practicing the alternate lifestyle. How many times have you stopped to pray for them?
That's good, Pastor White. That's good, Pastor.
See, they need your prayers too.
Yes, they do.
And what we do, we become hypocritical and talk about who they are, but they're just sinners, need to be saved by the same grace of God that you and I got saved by, and we're going to get to reach them. It's going to take us praying for them. Because the same God that saved you is the same God that's going to make a difference in their lives. And the same man that rules in the White House needs our prayers, because the beginning of anything that's going to be done in our society has got to start at the top.
That's right, Pastor White. That's right.
If our president would stand for the things of God, we might see some changes made in our country. But he don't see the importance of prayer. He don't see the importance of God in his life. But you know what we can do for him? We can pray for him. Because if anything is going to make a difference in this society, it's going to be prayer. And it's going to be praying for those that he's talking about here. That ain't in my intro. That wasn't even in my notes. That's just a little something to throw there on the side. Amen. But it helps set the stage for what we want to talk about. So Wednesday night, we talked about, he says, I exhort thee, therefore, and this one thing that you ought to do is what? Is pray. We talked about the priority of prayer. And prayer ought to have a priority in our lives because that's the first thing that we ought to do is to pray. And we talked about even under the area of the heading of the main point being the priority, we talked about the preeminence of prayer. The preeminence, it ought to be the first thing that we do. When you get out the bed in the morning, the first thing you ought to do when you hit the floor, before you put your feet on the floor, you ought to put your knees on the floor and go to God in prayer. Amen. Because you need prayer before you can even face your family. Amen. You need prayer before you can face any of the things that you have to go to. And it ought to have a preeminence in your life. And not only ought to be preeminence in your life, it ought to be a persistent in your life. And we looked at the persistence of prayer. We could go back and look at Timothy or Paul in every one of the books that he wrote to. Paul was persistent in praying for the churches with all that they were going through. He was persistent in his prayer life. We looked at Daniel, and Daniel was persistent in his prayer life. He prayed 3 times a day. And when they went looking for Daniel, you know what? They knew where he was at. Because he was persistent in his prayer life. Right. You know what? I wonder how many of us today would be guilty of people saying, "Where Pastor White at? Oh, he's praying."
Well,
go ahead,
Pastor. I would hope they would say that, but you know what? I have to be honest with you this morning. Amen. That ain't always where you would probably find me. But that's where I ought to be.
Amen.
That's where I need to be.
Right.
Because I need to pray for my family. I need to pray for the White House. I need to pray for the poorhouse. I need to pray for people at my job. Because you know what? They get on your nerves sometimes. And the only thing that's going to make any difference in their life is going to be prayer. And we got to be persistent. And we got to have some passion for prayer. And then we looked at the practice of prayer. He said, adding supplication and prayers and intercession. He's telling us these are the practices that we ought to have in prayer when we practice praying. How you ought to do it? We ought to intercede for those. And we ought to give thanks in everything that we have. And it comes to prayer when God answers prayer according to his will and not ours. Amen.
Amen.
And we ought to thank him
Amen.
For it. Because God knows better for us than we know for ourselves. He really does. So that's where we were and where we're going to go to tonight. I want us to look at not only the priority of prayer, but the practice of prayer. But I want us to look at the product of prayer, how this thing works and what happens when we pray and put it to practice. It's going to produce something in the Christian life. And God tells us, let me go back up here so I don't get it all bolly foxed up and get ahead of myself here. But I want us to see, I think every time I come up here, I look and it must be the flash. It looked like I think of something else moving under there. Amen. But maybe the Holy Spirit of God moving up here, amen. I tell you, it is good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. So as we look at this, we want to look at it from the perspective of looking at the product of prayer. I want you to notice, first of all, look at verse number 2. We talked about verse number 1, but we want to tie in all of these 8 verses here, or these other 6 verses. He says, for who are we for to pray for? He says, pray for the kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. We ought to see the product of prayer. You know, the thing about it here is God wants us to be in such a way as Christians that we bring something to society that society doesn't have, and that is the peace of God. Amen. That passes all understanding. Paul urged the church here to pray for those that are in authority. I want you to know tonight that Paul is facing here a godless emperor named Nero who was on the throne at the time. But yet what Paul was trying to encourage the people there to pray for him because he needs prayer. Do our president needs prayer tonight?
Yes, he
needs our prayers tonight. And this is an example to us that those that are in authority need to be prayed for. And we ought to pray for them. What is it going to produce if we pray for them? It's going to produce some things in our lives. First of all, you notice something here in this production here that God wants us to maintain peace in our society. If we're going to maintain the peace in our society, there has to be something different in our lives. And one of the things that Paul is writing here to every church always ought to have this persecution and opposition against it. But one of the things that we ought to do is pray. Because first of all, not only when I think about maintaining peace in our society, we have the privilege of prayer.
Amen.
Let me tell you something, Christians, tonight, and most people may not agree. When things don't go the way that we want them to go, most of us will get on our bandwagon and we'll say all kind of things about what's going on. But the thing that we ought to do is pray.
That's right.
And we don't do that. When I think about all that's going on again in our society and the way that things are going, how many of us stop and take the time and pray for those that need to be prayed, that are in our leadership? Those that are making the rules, those that are making the changes in our society are those that need prayer. And God wants us to live in such a way, he says he wants us to live quiet and a peaceable life. And I'm just waiting to get to the good part. I want to just build up to you because I want to show you how praying for God, the product and what it produced in a life, this man that we're going to talk about here in just a few minutes, how it produced in his life a change because he prayed to the God of heaven and God changed the heart of the king. Because the Bible tells us the heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord. And if the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, we need to pray for that king. We need to pray for that one that's in authority. When he talks about it, there's two things here. Because we have the privilege of prayer, he wants us to understand that we ought to live a quiet and peaceable life. Quiet has the idea of referring to the circumstances that's going on around us. You know what? It ought not take us by surprise what is going on in our society when we think about it's a godless society. You know, it ought not surprise us that they would agree that homosexuality and the alternate lifestyle, it ought to be something that ought to go on. Why? Because we live in a sinful world. And sinners need to be what? And sinners need to be prayed what? For. He wants us to live a quiet and peaceful life. Peaceful refers to the calm attitude that's within us. We ought not get so excited about it. But what happens in our lives as Christians and a lot of people today, we want to have our freedom of speech. Be careful about what you say, how you say it, when you say it, and who you're saying it to. Here's what a lot of Christians do today. We want to get on Facebook, Twitter, say all these things about whomever, whatever, share our most intimate thoughts about whatever that's going on in our opinion because we have the right to speech and we do have the freedom of speech. But you know what? You ought not speak nothing that you haven't prayed about before you put it in Twitter and on Facebook. Because when the first of all, think about it, have you prayed about it? Because somebody is going to read what you say, how you say it, when you say it, and why you said what you said. And a lot of times it doesn't come across the way that you want it to come across because you haven't prayed about it. See, I can complain about President Obama. I can complain about the police officers. And I'm not telling you that I agree with everything that happened. But one of the things I do agree with is that we ought to pray. If anything is going to change that person's heart, it's going to be prayer. It's not going to be because I decided I want to lead a march and go down to the courthouse or go to the White House or go to Phoenix House in Phoenix and march and protest what's going on in our side. That's not going to change the heart of the people that are making the decisions that we're standing up against. It's going to take a moving of God, just like it took in your heart and life. It's going to take the same thing in the lives of those that are in authority. And that's why Paul is telling them to pray for those that are in leadership. They are the ones making decisions. But as a Christian, we need to be praying about it. Get off the Twitter and get on your knees. Get off the Facebook and get on your knees and pray about it. Because that's what's going to change that person. That's what's going to change our society. It's going to be prayer. It's not going to be what I think. It's going to be what God needs to do in that heart and life. And I can't change it, but God can change that heart. Because the Bible tells us the heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them that despitefully use you. As he says in Luke chapter 6 and verse 28. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through thy word. In other words, if I share the word of God, it might make a difference in somebody's life. If I can pray for them, God may lead somebody to share the gospel with that president. He may lead somebody to share the gospel with that senator. I may not be able to do it, but I can pray that the God of heaven will send somebody to witness and tell that person about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what's going to make a difference in our society, folks. It's not going to be because we get a march going. We get to complaining. We can get our soapbox and do a lot of things, but one thing we ought to do is get off the box and get on the knees, because that's what's going to make a difference in our society. And one of the things we do, we have the privilege of freedom of speech, but you know what? We got the greatest privilege of all the world, that we can go to God in prayer. That's the greatest privilege that we have, is prayer. It's prayer. We can pray for each other. We can pray for our society. We can pray for our family members. And I'm just as guilty as everyone sitting here tonight under the sound of my voice. Most of the people in our family that we don't consider what we call straight, we don't pray for them. We neglect to pray for them. But we talk about them, but we don't pray about them. We can talk about President Obama. We can talk about the senators. We can talk about the ones that's coming into the White House the next 4 years. You know what? It's not going to be them making the difference. What's going to make a difference is the people of God. He says, when my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, I will hear from heaven. Because we do what God tells us that we ought to do. And that's to pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked way. That's what God's telling us that we need to do when it comes to this area of prayer if we're going to maintain peace in this society. That's what God wants us to do, to live a peaceable life. I want you to think about it, because here's Paul writing, and you get down here to verses 2 and 3. He says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, to do what? That we pray for kings and those in authority. That we live a peaceable life, and that we live by godliness and holiness, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge and of the truth, that there is one God and there is one mediator between God and between man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. If that's what's going to make a difference in our society, that's what's going to make a difference in the world in which we live. And therefore, we can let us come therefore boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. Because these people that he's writing, he's talking about, they are in need. They're in need of our prayers. They are in need of our prayers. But then second of all, we're going to look at tonight, not only do we want to maintain peace in our society, but there needs to be a manifestation of a godly pleasure and Christ glorification to glorify God in everything that we do. Many believers tonight don't realize that the basic work of prayer rests in the very fact that Jesus Christ is our Savior and he's our mediator. It's all predicated on the fact that we know Christ is Savior and he is going to make a difference. And he's going to make a difference because we pray. We don't need to pray that the God of the make changes in heaven. We need to pray that God's will be done down here in this earth in which we live. That's where our prayers need to be directed. Not that we can get God's will done in heaven, but to get God's will done here on earth.
Amen.
I know and I believe with all my heart, somebody prayed for me before I got saved.
Amen, Pastor.
Now, I may not see President Obama get saved, but that ought to be my prayer. I may not see the mayor of Tucson get saved, but it ought to be my prayer.
Yeah.
It ought to be every one of our prayers that these people in authority, the police officers, you know what? Yeah. They need our prayers.
Yes, they do, Pastor.
They are the kind of people that need our prayers. And when we see somebody come to know Christ the Savior, you know who gets the praise and who ought to get the glory?
That's right.
Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir, Pastor White.
Because he died for them just like he died for you and me. Those that want to practice this kind of alternate lifestyle, we don't have to accept it. We don't have to believe it, but we can pray for those because they need our prayers.
Right.
They need a changing of their hearts. And a changing of their heart is going to come by God changing that heart, God changing their desires, God changing their view of life. How many of you sitting here this morning? I hope y'all ain't still here this morning.
Amen.
Y'all here this evening.
Tonight. Amen.
Amen. Tonight.
Amen. Yes.
How many of y'all, God has changed your view of things?
It has. He has, Pastor.
He has changed your perspective. Mm-hmm. And so were some of you.
Amen.
We used to be.
And
I ought to believe it more now than I ought and I ever have in my life, that if anything is going to change, it's going to be because God does a changing in a heart and a life.
Right.
How many of you seen your seeing somebody that you thought would never get saved get saved? Many of us have. Many of us have. Because somebody prayed. I think about Mike Perkins, how much I prayed for him.
Amen.
I think about how I prayed for him before I ever saw him get saved.
Amen.
Amen.
But these other people, I'm telling you folks, they need our prayers.
Yes, sir, they do.
The doctors, the lawyers, all the people that we come in, those that are in authority. Because people can take their authority and exercise it to the greater extent than they ought to.
That's right.
Because their heart is not right. And Jesus said, there's one mediator between us and God, and the only one that's going to make a difference is Jesus Christ. And what he did on the cross, he can change the heart and lives of people. Because he changed your life. He can change their lives. And he wants to be honored, and he wants to be glorified, because nothing is going to happen unless they come to know Christ the Savior. And the basis here is the God-man, Jesus, is the perfect mediator between us and a holy God and a fallen nation or fallen children in which we are. He's the only one that can make a difference in this society in which we live. Since there is only one God, there is one mediator, that the mediator is Jesus Christ. No other person can qualify to do what God has done, not only in your life, but not only in yours, but in their life. He said that he came to be a ransom for our sin. And it's through the death of Christ that he's talking about here, about the importance of them understanding that Jesus Christ came and died for their sin, who gave himself, in verse number 6, who gave himself a ransom for all that he might be testified in due time. And he's expecting us to do the testifying, because God wants to make a difference in our society. And he's the only one that can do it. I want us to look at the third thing here, is the ministers of the man, of man's salvation. God is calling us to do this. Now, I want to say something tonight. Let's look at verse number 8, because here's where I believe the crux of everything when it comes to you and I, where it all rests at, is where we are in our relationship with God. Look at verse number 8. He says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and disputing. Our job is the minister, or the ministers of men's salvation. Psalms 66 and verse 18 says this: if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me.
Right.
Let me say this tonight. One of the greatest responsibilities of you and I as a Christian is the position of prayer. Gregory, can you come up here for a minute?
Yeah.
The position of prayer. You know, I was reading through one of the commentaries, and it tells us there are many positions that we can be in when it comes to prayer. You can go back through the Bible, and we won't do it tonight for the sake of time, but I'll use Gregory as an example. Most of us, when we think about lifting up holy hands, let's lift up your hands, holy hands, to God. What it symbolizes is not the fact that he's holy, but it symbolizes the fact that he said he has pure hands. There's nothing about him that would hinder God answering his prayers. And if you go back and study, it is a symbol of the holiness and being right with God. And what I'm talking about tonight, when we look at the position of prayer, it's not the position of where we're bowing, where we're standing, where we're kneeling, but it's where your heart is.
Amen.
It's where your heart is. Because your heart is not right with God. He says he will not answer your prayer. And I believe one of the greatest hindrances in the Christian life today when it comes to prayer, we don't get any prayers answers because we have sin in our hearts. And it tells me if we have sin in our hearts, God will not hear our prayers. You getting tired? Okay, you put your arm down. But that is so important, folks, tonight. He says, disputing. we groan and we mumble and we complain. And that's why it's so important when there's something going on in your life, you know, one of the first things that you got to do is pray.
That's right, Pastor.
We got to do what?
Pray.
When things aren't going the way that we want them to go, what do we got to do?
Pray.
And when we regard iniquity in our hearts, God will not hear our what?
Prayer.
Our prayers. God won't hear our prayers. And a lot of Christians, we spend our time arguing and being upset over the color of the carpet.
Oh, amen.
Or something that the pastor said. Or somebody didn't treat me a certain way. Or I got my feelings hurt.
Yep.
When we ought to be doing what?
Praying.
And when we regard those kind of temptations and we regard those kind of things in our hearts, he says God will not hear our prayers. Mm-hmm. We can't get those in authority to get any changes in their lives because we need to make some changes in our lives.
Yes,
and the place that it begins is in our hearts.
Right.
It has to begin in our heart. Because I need to be right with God
mm-hmm.
and right with other believers before I can go to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help me in time of my own need. How can I get help for somebody else when I haven't gotten myself right?
That's right.
So I need to be right with God.
Amen.
And I believe that's what Paul is writing. I want you to notice something because Paul is addressing, as we said Wednesday night, Paul is addressing the men here first because men ought to be prayer warriors.
Amen.
And most of the time the women are the ones that pray more than men do because we think we got it all under control. And he's addressing the men in these first 8 verses, and then he goes on and he addresses the women about some things that they need to do because of some problems that they're going through in the church. But men, first of all, men, we ought to be men of prayer.
Amen.
Because that's what God wants us to do. And that's what is going to produce something in our lives.
Amen.
And it's going to produce something in our society. We're going to be able to make a difference in our society because of prayer. I want you to take your Bibles. Thank you, Gregory. Might use you again. I want us to take our Bibles tonight. I want us to turn to Daniel chapter number 6. I want us to see something here in Daniel's life. When we think about the product of prayer, I believe Daniel is a perfect example of the product of prayer. And everything that we talked about here, the manifestation of prayer and the privilege of prayer, Daniel is the perfect example of what can be produced if we pray the way that we ought to. In all of these things that we're talking about here tonight, the ministers of people's salvation, the importance of it, the manifestation of that pleases God and Christ is glorified. The fact that we need to maintain peace in our society. When you turn over to Daniel chapter number 6 and just bear with me as we look at it. And I'm going to just read down through it. I want us to see how Daniel here they were writing the decree. And it's funny how all of the princes and all of those in authority, they had got together, but they didn't include Daniel in what they were doing. Because they couldn't find nothing against Daniel except to be with what? His God. Notice what happens here in verse number 10. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did what? Aforetime. See, it didn't change what Daniel usually do. They wrote the decree. Daniel said, well, y'all go to write the decree. I'm going to pray to my God. What am I saying here tonight, folks? See, Daniel could have did like most Baptists. We would have got on our Twitter. We would have got on our, what's that other one? Facebook. We would have got on, what is that other one? Twitter. We would have got on there and been on that broadcast. I can't believe they did this. But you know what Daniel did? What most of us don't do? Daniel prayed.
Yes, he did.
Daniel prayed.
Yes, he did, Pastor White.
See, you didn't find him griping.
No.
You didn't find him mourning. You didn't find him complaining.
Yeah.
Daniel did what he always did 3 times a day. Daniel went to his God in prayer.
Amen.
He went to his God in prayer. He didn't go to somebody else's God.
That's right.
He didn't go down there to see what they were doing at the White House. He didn't go down there to the poorhouse. He didn't go down there protesting at county hall. He didn't go over there at the break room talking about it. He didn't go to the water fountain. He didn't go to the coffee pot. He didn't do none of those things. Daniel went to his God in prayer. Because if anything going to make a difference in those that are in leadership, it's going to be because we pray. It's going to be because we pray. Let's move on here for the sake of time. But notice what else he did. And then these men, look at them now. Look at them here now. These men assembled and found Daniel praying, making in supplication before his God. And what they ought to have been doing is they were so into praying for the king because he wanted to be the preeminence. They done build up his pride. They would have never known that Daniel was praying. But you know what? I believe they were setting up Daniel, which we know that they were. But they knew where he would be. He would be praying. Boy, that ought to be said of us, everyone as Christians. Amen.
Amen.
And then notice what the king does. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree, and that every man that shall ask a petition and of any god or man within 30 days, say thee, O king, shall he be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altered not. In other words, you can't change it. And he answered they and said before the king that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but made his petition three times a day. Well, he was praying to his God. Then the king, notice the king's heart. Then the king, when he heard these words, was so displeased with him, what? With himself. And he set his heart. Notice the hand of the heart of the king is where? Is in the hand of the Lord. And his heart, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored to the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king again. Again, they're going to remind him, look, O king, and said unto thee, O king, know thou, O king, that the law of the Persians and the Medians, that the decree nor the statute which the king established may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel, and they cast him into the den of lions. Then the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou serve continually, he will deliver thee. Wow. That's the heart of the king. That wasn't Daniel said he's going to deliver. The king said, your God is going to deliver you. I read something. I don't know, Pastor, was it in that book? My wife, I know we read it. Was it in that book that Pastor Chapel wrote about that this one man that whenever they knew that something wasn't going right, they said, well, look, we don't want to tell him because when that man gets to praying, he gets things get changed.
Amen.
We don't want to tell him about that. But the heart of the king. And when the stone was brought, look, they're gonna do it all up. Amen. They're going to put the king's signet on it and all of those things. And I like this. Then in verse 19, let's drop down there for the sake of time. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou serve continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angels and have shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocence was found in me. And also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. I like that. Daniel didn't waste any time, folks. He prayed.
Yes, sir, he did.
God moved in the heart of the king. The Bible tells us the king couldn't get any rest that night.
That's right.
Because he knew what he did was wrong. But he did believe in Daniel's God.
Amen.
And believed that God would deliver him. that we've heard it said before, the lions got lockjaw.
Yes, sir.
Y'all heard that before?
Yeah.
The lions got lockjaw.
Lockjaw.
And they couldn't even do Daniel any harm.
That's right, Pastor. That's right.
Look at verse number 24. No, verse 23, where I pick it up. Let's just read 23. I want to start there anyway. Amen. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded that they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions. Them, their children, and their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them, and break all of their bones in pieces every day came at the bottom of the den. They were eaten alive. But you know what, folks? Again, it goes back to showing us what prayer will produce.
Amen, Pastor.
If we believe God, Daniel could go to God in confidence. It doesn't tell us what Daniel prayed for.
That's right, Pastor.
But Daniel prayed to his God. I believe God answered his prayer, because Daniel made prayer his priority. Irregardless of how things are going in life, Daniel made prayer his priority. He was showing us that it had the preeminence in his life. He was persistent in his prayers. And God proved him and showing that if you trust God, no matter what it is that you're going through, you offer your prayers and supplications to God, he's going to make a difference even in those that are in authority. Because the king's heart was in the hand of God, and he made the change that needed to be made in that king's life. He couldn't rest, and it brought, blessed his heart, that yep. Daniel's God
Amen.
Had a testimony now.
Amen.
Because of Daniel's stand for yep. God. And Daniel was where he needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because first of all, I believe that his heart was right with God.
Amen.
And see, when our heart is right with God, God answers our prayers.
Yes, sir, he does.
But if we regard iniquity in our heart, God will not hear our prayers. And I believe a lot of Christians today, we're not getting answers to prayer because we're regarding iniquity in our heart. Let me tell you something tonight. It don't take much for us to get in the flesh. But it's harder for us to get out of the flesh, because we don't want to pray, because that's the only thing that's going to get us out of the flesh that we're in to get something done.
Yes, sir, Pastor White.
I'm going to have to be transparent tonight. As I thought about this area of scripture Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, guess what happened Thursday morning? I get up, Teresa fixed me some coffee, and I get ready to leave, and I wanted her to do something. And she's like, I got to do this, and I just got that little attitude, just like that. And instead of kissing her the way that I should do when I leave the house, I just kind of, and that bothered me the whole day. Because as I thought about it, my heart wasn't in the right place.
That's right, Pastor White.
And what am I saying tonight? That's how easy it is for us as Christians to get in the flesh.
Right.
And our heart is not in the right place. We can go through the motions of prayer, but if my heart is not right,
right.
He tells me he will not hear my prayers.
Right. That's right, Pastor.
So anything that I had to say to God after that, it had no effect whatsoever.
Right.
But if my people who are called by my name,
yep.
will humble themselves and pray.
Amen.
And seek my face. Humble themselves and turn from what? Their wicked way.
Wicked.
Then I will hear from heaven. What's the rest of it? And hear their land.
Hear their land.
Because we do what?
Pray.
We pray. If we don't do nothing else tonight, what do we ought to do?
Pray.
Is pray. Whatever it is that you're going through, we need to do what?
Pray.
We need to pray. And when Daniel prayed, the king decided that he's going to write another decree, that he's going to make it a decree that everybody follow Daniel's God.
Amen.
Look at the last few verses, and we're going to close here.
Amen.
Because he changed his heart. I don't know if the king got saved, but I tell you what, he made some good godly moves. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Then the king Darius wrote unto all the people, nations, and languages that dwell in the earth. Peace. What are we supposed to do as Christians? we shall live a peaceable life, and it's going to bring peace in the community. Peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel.
Amen.
For he is the living God and steadfast forever. And his kingdom shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivered and rescued, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in the earth. What do we want? Not God's will done in heaven, but we want God's will done in what? In this earth. Who have delivered Daniel from the mouth or from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus, the Persians. Because Daniel shows us what prayer will produce in the life of a Christian. Because the heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord. Those that are in authority, if we want to see something happen in our society today, we got to believe that same God can do the same thing in the society in which we live. Because he is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And whatever it is that's going on in your life, God wants to still use us to make a difference in the society in which we live. And we ought not get on the soapbox. We need to get on our knees. When things don't go the way that we think they ought to, prayer ought to be the first place that we go, not the second place or the third place. Prayer ought to be the first place that we go. Because if anything is going to change in the society in which we live, it's going to take the moving and the working of the hand of God.
Amen.
In our lives and in our nation. Pray for those that are in authority. We got to pray for them.
Yes.
Lift them up because they need our prayers.
Yes.
The police officers need our prayer. Yes. We need them because they're here for our benefit. And the same persons that are in those kind of authority go through the same trials. They go through the same testing.
Oh, yeah.
They have the same struggles as you and I. And they are without God.
That's right.
So were some of us. And we got to pray for them.
Yes, sir, we do.
Because Jesus is the only thing that's going to make a difference in this society in which we live. Would you agree with me tonight?
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
That God wants us as Christians to pray.
Yes, sir.
We don't do enough of it.
That's right.
It's so easy to complain and get on the soapbox and agree with all of these other people who are making their petition. And it's amazing how our society today, everybody wants to voice their opinion about whatever it is that's going on.
That's right, Pastor.
And we can disagree or we can agree with it. But you know what? As a Christian, we need to get on our knees.
That's right.
And pray to the God of heaven. Because he's going to make the difference. He's going to change the society. If any changing happens, it's going to be because of God. It's not going to be because of man's philosophy. It's going to be because the God of heaven
is
doing a work in our lives, first of all, that we can make a difference in our society. You know what? We may not win, but one at a time. But there's one that is just one person that's not going to go to hell. There's one person that God could take that life and change it. And we never know what that life and change and that life can be. If it would start in the White House, it would make a difference in the poorhouse.
Yes, sir.
And I was listening to, y'all hear me talking about, I was listening to Dr. Chappell, and I just varied from the outline that he had and what he was talking about, but what he said was true. President Obama went to church 7 times in the 8 years that he's been in the White House.
Wow.
1 week out of 8 years, you could put it all together, he went to the church 7 times. He needs our prayers, folks.
Yes, he does, Pastor. He does.
He needs our prayers. Those people in the what do you call it, the Supreme Court that made that decision about the homosexuality.
Yeah.
You know what? They need our prayers.
Yes, sir, they do.
Because they are the ones that are in authority.
Yep.
And our complaining about it ain't gonna change them.
That's right, Pastor.
It's already done.
It's already done, Pastor.
But what we can do is win them one at a time.
One at a time.
Pray for them, because they need our
Amen.
Prayers. See, Paul knew what needed to be done. And y'all remember when Paul got saved?
Yeah.
The Lord told him that you can go before kings.
Uh-huh.
So where is he? He's praying for the wicked king because he's wanting to have Paul killed.
That's right.
And so he's telling the church that he's writing to, y'all need to pray for those in authority.
That's right, Pastor.
Don't pray for me. He knew where he was going. But I want y'all to pray for me.
Amen, Pastor.
I know where I'm going. But I know what I need. I know what our country need. I know what our society need. I know what our pastor need. I know what my boss need. Kids, you know what your teachers need. Even though some of you are homeschooling, you need to pray for your mom too. You pray for your dad.
Amen.
You need to pray for those on your job. Don't they get on your nerves? How many of y'all looking to tomorrow morning, looking to go and face them?
Yeah.
We're going to, but you know what they need? They need our prayers.
That's right.
They need our prayers.
Yes, sir, they do.
Because they need to be saved. What a tremendous area when you think about prayer.
Amen.
And most of us, when you think about prayer, wouldn't go there. But it is where we need to be tonight. Paul says pray. Folks, I say to you tonight, pray. Prayer needs to have the priority. It is necessary, the necessity of prayer. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you again for tonight. God, we thank you for the privilege that we have tonight to be in your house. God, we thank you for your word and thank you for the testimony that Paul had as he's writing to this church, or is writing to Timothy, because Timothy was going to face some battles in his life. But this one thing that he said that you ought to do, and that's pray. God, I pray that it would be the priority in our lives. Lord, it would be our practice, and we'll see the product in the day to come. Let's all stand at our feet. We're going to ask Miss Stephanie to play a hymn of invitation.
Amen.
Maybe God has spoken in your heart tonight. Miss Stephanie, you pray whatever it is that God lays in your heart as far as the invitation. I'm okay with it. That God has spoken in your heart tonight about the importance of prayer. You know, if we would just be honest, and I'm just guilty, I'm not praying for those in authority that Paul is talking about. And as he's writing to Timothy, he's probably giving his own testimony that he knew that the King Nero wasn't on his side. He knew that he was not where we need, but he did need our prayers. He did need their prayer. And if we're going to see our society change, we need to be people of prayer. We need to pray for them. The men that are in authority, we need to pray for them. Because they're going to be the ones that make the laws. They're going to be the ones that set the course and the direction of not only a nation, but a people that will follow. And if our president, on down from the White House to the poorhouse, if we would be men of prayer, I believe that we will see the hand of God. Daniel is a true example of what the product of prayer really represents. It represents everything that we've talked about when we talk about prayer. May God help us tonight. Maybe the greatest prayer that you need is the prayer of salvation. Maybe you need to confess your sin. The Bible says we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all righteousness when it comes to getting sin out of our lives. But if you've never been forgiven for your sins, then your prayer is ought to be this. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and to believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Where are you at tonight? Maybe you need to let someone take a Bible tonight and show you from the scriptures how you could be saved. You know, you could pretend and look good on the outside, but God knows your heart. And if you're here tonight, I pray that you wouldn't leave here. Let someone take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. Maybe even those that are here at an old-fashioned altar tonight will see their need of being men, women, boys, and girls, be that a prayer, because we need it. God wants to hear from us. We want to get God's will done here on earth, not just in heaven, but we want his will done here on earth. May it begin with us as Christians. I'm going to ask our pastor to come and close as he sees fit.
Our Christians are praying and heads are bowed and eyes are closed and we're looking around. You know, as you read that area in 1 Timothy, Pastor White hit the nail on the head. You know, we've got to pray for our nation. We've also got to pray for our church, your pastor, your teachers, your Sunday school teachers, your ushers, your people that drive the van, the nursery workers need our prayers. There's a lot of needs right here in our own church, and we'll make sure that we don't neglect those needs. And at the same time, our nation needs our prayers. Our state needs our prayers. Our family needs our prayers. But your pastor, your pastor's wife, your assistant pastor, your deacons, people that stand before your children week after week and teach your children need your prayers. The adult teachers need your prayers. Pastor Pirate programs need your prayers. Vacation Bible School needs your prayers. So much that we can pray for, and oftentimes we pray so little. But we're encouraged today to pray and to continue praying. Father, thank you for the message tonight. Lord, the necessity to pray. It is mentioned so often in Scripture, and we see great things happen when God's people do pray. Lord, help us to see the great things that do happen when we pray and the answers to prayer that we've received thus far. Lord, there's so much more that you would want us to pray for. You said oftentimes we have not because we ask not. And then we ask and we consume it upon our lust. Lord, so help us to ask according to the will of God. Lord, from the pastoral staff on down to the youngest person here at Shining Light, Lord, we need prayer. And we need prayers for each other. Many health needs are here. Many financial needs are here. Emotional needs are here. Lord, educational needs are here. Ministerial needs are here. Lord, help us to be prayer warriors, and not just a quick prayer, but labor in prayer, sometimes fasting in prayer. Well, whatever the matter calls for, help us to do exactly that. Thank you again for meeting with us, Lord. We do pray for those that are traveling, our loved ones, and do pray that you would get us, get them back to us safe and sound. What a blessing and encouragement it is to see others filtering back in from vacations that they've been gone to. But help us not to be negligent in these prayers. Thank you again for loving us, Lord. I do pray that you would give us a tremendous, tremendous start of the week as we're going through the valleys, knowing that you're there, as we're praying, knowing that you're there, whatever it is, Lord, knowing that you're there. Our Brother Hall, if you lift your voice up and conclude us in prayer, and we'd appreciate that. Amen.